Welcome back. You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. I'm Aaron Brown. Our northern listeners are tuned to Northern Community Radio, 91.7 KAXE in Grand Rapids, and the Iron Range, 90.5 KBXE Bagley and Bemidji, 89.9 FM in Brainerd and Baxter, and 103.9 FM Ely. Our metro listeners are tuned to KBEM Jazz 88, Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're streaming live all over the world at KAXE.org. You can go there to download past episodes of the show. Stay tuned for our podcast and rebroadcasts on a public radio station near you. Joining me on stage now is our producer slash stage manager, Erica Cota. Erica is midway through her second year as a radio broadcast major at the distinguished Columbia College in Chicago, Illinois. And Erica, you got started at a young age at Northern Community Radio. You were 11. 11? Is that a real number?
That is a real number.
When I was 11, I could put on sweatpants. That's about all I could do.
Well, for some reason they let me on the radio.
Wow, I'm impressed. So I'm curious, you've been taught by some of the finest broadcast radio professors in the nation, and I'm curious, what do you think of our little show now?
Well, you're pretty much doing everything wrong.
What? Well, everything?
Well, not everything. For instance, what's your source of revenue?
Well, our program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Town Hall Brewery in Minneapolis. Of course, listener members of Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88, the independent public radio stations that carry our show.
That's it?
Well, most of the big money is going to other variety shows that people have heard of.
So what did North Hennepin Community College pay to get you here?
What did they pay to get me here? Nothing. In fact, I'm supposed to tell everyone that North Hennepin Community College creates opportunities for students to reach their academic goals, succeed in their chosen professions, and make a difference in the world. Find out more at nhcc.edu.
And all these people, what did they pay to get in here?
We believe our show is a gift for the people of the communities we visit. We've never charged for tickets.
My textbook said that shows like this are extinct.
Well, endangered maybe, but we're still kicking.
So how are you paying for Dan to get the gas and all of the equipment down here from Bemidji?
I was hoping to buy him a pack of meat sticks and hope he forgot.
That's not going to work.
No, well, maybe the folks could help us out. Erica is holding up our patented Minnow Bucket 5000, a classic receptacle design reclaimed for a modern lifestyle. Erica, demonstrate how it works. You can help us cover the expense of bringing our little show to places like Brooklyn Park or our next stop on June 13th in Grand Marais, so we can broadcast live to the whole world. If you're listening on the radio or online, use the next few minutes to call 800-662-5799 to pledge what you can to Northern Community Radio. Memberships are available at any level, and Great Northern Radio Show gear is available at many levels, including our fashionable new T-shirt, something appropriate for spring, which is allegedly just around the corner. So for our studio audience, become a member here after the show, or do what you can in the Minnow Bucket 5000. Welcome to our stage, a North Hennepin Community College music student, a veteran of this very stage. He's got a violin and an audio mixer, so let's find out what happens next. Here's Stephen Decker. Thank you. Listening at home, that was one person playing a violin, just in case you were wondering. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our show uses music, stories, and humor to tell the story of modern life off the beaten path. We're the big, big show from your hometown. This is our first show in the Twin Cities metro area. We've spent some time touring around northern Minnesota in our home area, and some said we should come down here. Maybe we should go to Minneapolis, or maybe we should have gone to St. Paul, though, to be fair, they seem pretty well stocked up on this nonsense over there. So I asked, where would the experts say we shouldn't go? And after Richfield said no, we ended up here in Brooklyn Park. I'm kidding. There is no way Richfield would have said no. There's just not. That just wouldn't have happened. So it happened like this. The year was 1990-something, and I was a teenager driving to the Twin Cities from the Iron Range with my friends. We were staying with my friend's Uncle Bob in a housing development where you could still see the sod lines in the front yards that some phantom landscaper mowed when no one was looking. And yes, while we stayed there at Uncle Bob's, I slept in a guest room that contained nothing more than a bed and a giant cardboard box of pornography. I wish I could say that I didn't look inside the box, but you have to understand it was not just a box of pornography, it was a comically large box of pornography, a box so large that the sheer task of filling it must have represented not only a conscious decision, but also a financial commitment of some sort, similar to financing an ATV or high-end gazebo. There were so many magazines in the box that one could not store them under a mattress. In fact, they could have been used as a mattress. To ignore such a box would be like ignoring a dumpster fire. So I looked inside, but by teenage boy standards, I didn't linger. I observed. That's why I'm in public radio. But that is not my real confession. On my way to this place, I committed a crime that forbids me from revisiting the city of Burnsville. We weren't headed for Burnsville on this trip, because I had no idea where we were headed, I was driving my family's minivan full of teenage friends. We ended up in Burnsville by accident. So I pulled over at a gas station off the interstate to ask directions, and I left my laminated Twin Cities map in the hands of my friend in the passenger seat. So I swaggered into this gas station the way only the second best member of a small rural school's Knowledge Bowl team could. And when I emerged from the bathroom, my friend rushed up to me, pointing at colorful lines and numbers that he believed would lead us to the promised land on the map. And so things were looking up. I went to pay for a pop and the gas, and the clerk added, and $3.99 for the map. Wait a minute, I thought. This was my map. I bought that map in Virginia, Minnesota. I'm not going to pay for it twice. And what follows is a dramatic retelling of the resulting dialogue, altered perhaps by time and my own biases. So, I am not going to pay for a map that I already own, I said, tensing my taut teenage muscles. That map came from that display over there, he says, clearly intimidated by my physical prowess. No, this is my map. I own it, and my friend brought it in from the car. I was defiant. This man, just barely a man, probably in his early 20s, working at a gas station just off the interstate, he said with full authority of that position, well, fine, but don't ever come back again. Ever. Fine, I said, not a problem. I stormed out the gas station with my posse at my back. We piled into the minivan to the cadence of my angry muttering until, as I engaged the engine, one of my friends said, dude, way to steal a map. It turns out the map that my friend was showing me really was from the gas station. My map, though similar in almost every way, suffered from the same problem all people and things from the Iron Range endure, the assumption that similar things from the Twin Cities must be better. So I had just confronted a store clerk who had witnessed the map being removed from the shelf and, with full commitment, talked him out of that very map, not because I was right, but because there was a distinct limit to how much he cared. But that is not why I can't go back to Burnsville. I can't go back because I put that van in gear fast. I kept driving. That map has been in every car I've driven since. That map is in the parking lot of this theater right now as I speak. It remembers. They say the suburbs have their secrets. I might have left those dirty magazines where I found them, but I stole a map. I could return it, but everybody just uses their phones now. So, SRY, gas station guy, my bad.
You need to know, what's my name? When you've got a place to get, I can get you there, I bet. Say my name!
This is the Great Northern Radio Show. Thanks to Quillen Rowe for that rendition of the classic, I'm the Map. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. You know, there's a lot of towns with a great baseball tradition back up in northern Minnesota, but you can't talk about Brooklyn Park without talking about baseball. Several major leaguers have come from the fields around this city. Kirby Puckett lived here. Tim Laudner's from here, the 87 Twins. And, of course, Pat Neshek down at spring training. With spring training underway in Florida, coaches and kids alike are anxiously awaiting the end of winter. We present to you the story of two young boys facing tough, tough pressures in this modern world. A little leaguer beleaguered.
Hey, Chance. Yuck. Why are you sitting all by yourself? The team is two tables over. We're talking about the tournament tomorrow.
I needed to be alone, Billy. Gulp, 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 gulp.
Whoa, buddy. You might want to go easy on that chocolate milk. How many have you had?
Not enough to forget the tournament.
Hey, you're our best hitter. You're gonna win us the pennant.
That's what everyone says. But they don't know. They don't know the pressure I'm under. They said sixth grade is a step up from fifth grade. But everything's different now. Do you know that I have to solve a 10 trigonometry problem using beads by third period, then write down a critical analysis of a book about Ben Franklin's accountant who happens to be an autistic Latina?
It's the Common Core. It's hard on us all.
I'm afraid, Billy. I'm afraid I'll be the one child left behind.
Don't say that. Don't ever say that. The whole team has your back. We can help you with your homework.
It's not just the homework. It's everything. Do you know that a lady called the house yesterday and I picked up and she thought I was my mom? My mom! Because my voice! See, there it is.
I know puberty's hard, man, but we've all been there. We're all changing. Maybe you can't tell right now, but I smell like old soup. I have since I got here.
I'm not changing fast enough. I'm not good enough for this team. Look at Joey. He's taller than me. He can swing harder than me now. I've seen Emily giving him looks. He's gonna try to take my spot any day. I can see it in the way he looks at me all shifty-eyed.
Hey, I heard from Shannon, who heard from Joelle, that Emily likes you, not Joey. Maybe he can swing, but he sure can't hit. Remember when he spun all the way around and whacked that bird?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Bird, our old shortstop. How's he doing now?
They say he's walking again.
Oh, good, good. Look, Billy, I've been thinking that maybe there's another solution, something that can help me out on the field.
What are you talking about, Chance?
I know a guy at Brooklyn Center. He gave me a good deal on this.
Is that? It can't be.
It is. Pure grapefruit juice laced with cane sugar.
You're juicing?
Shh, keep it down. I haven't taken it yet. But I'm going to tomorrow, just before the big game. I'll have increased memory, better alertness, more energy, and a higher libido.
What's libido?
I don't know. I think it has something to do with getting to second base.
But it's cheating.
Maybe it is, but how's a kid supposed to get ahead in this world anymore if he doesn't cheat a little bit? Mom and Dad always on my back telling me to clean my room, take out the trash. Coach telling me to work harder, play harder. Teacher telling me to do my homework and feed the guinea pig. I can't take it anymore. I need this, Billy. I don't want it. I need it. Ah!
Think of your dreams, man. You're still gonna ask Emily to the Brooklyn Park Little League Ball, right? You think she wants to go with some juice head?
I think she wants to go with the winner.
Chance, didn't you hear me before? That girl likes you. And in sixth grade, that means something. She'll still like you, even if you lost the game tomorrow. But if you won because of the juice, that's betraying her. That's saying, I don't like you enough to respect you.
But I do like her.
So show her how much you care by winning that game. Honestly.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking. Why do things gotta be so tough, Billy? Why?
I guess at our age, life is just one test after another. How about you throw that juice away and come join the team?
Sounds good. Hey, is that Emily over there?
Yep, and I already texted her. She knows you like her.
You did what?
The Great Northern Radio Player.
Touch 'em all, Kirby Puckett, touch 'em all. Knocking out of the park, touch your toe to every base. Put your hope in every heart, put your smile on every face. You don't have to look big to walk tall. Touch them all, Kirby Puckett, touch them all. touch them all, Kirby Puckett, touch them all. Be a hero to the children, a beacon in the night. Let us all see the beauty of something done right. 'Cause we all play the game after all. Touch them all, Kirby Puckett, touch them all. Touch them all, Kirby Puckett, touch them all. At a time when it all seems too broken to fix, showing the world how it's done, like you did in Game 6. Coming through with your back to the wall. Touch them all, Kirby Puckett, touch them all.
Singers. Touch 'em all, Kirby Puckett, a great old song from Pat Donahue. Thanks, Pat, for letting us use that in the show tonight. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio, KBEM Jazz 88, Minneapolis. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park. And our show is made possible in part by Town Hall Brewery in Minneapolis and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Hello to all the people back home in northern Minnesota, including our friends in Chisholm on the Iron Range. You drive into Chisholm, you see the Bridge of Peace flying the flags of 43 nations from which people emigrated to the area 100 years ago to work the woods and mines of northern Minnesota. Minnesota is a state founded on immigration and opportunity, and that's no different today than it was 150 years ago. Joining me now on stage, a former student, a graduate of North Hennepin Community College. He's from Gambia. Amdi Jarju, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Amdi, tell me a little bit about where you're from and how you got here to Brooklyn Park.
Well, I'm from a small country called the Gambia, West Africa. And I'm kind of a traveler. I've been around. I've been to over 25 countries myself. And I lived in New York for a bit, and New York had a lot going on. So I was looking for a spot that's laid back and didn't have a lot going on. And Minnesota was the right spot for that. Minnesota was the right spot for that, in a good way, though. So, in a good way, it was the right spot for that. I came over, I was on my way to St. Cloud to go to school, then I came over, and, you know, I mean, Brooklyn Park was diverse enough. And the things I liked were out here, the food was out here, the people were nice enough. And I figured I'd just hang around and do a couple of semesters, and I did, and it's been a great experience.
Excellent. Well, we were talking before the show, and one of the things that you're studying for is economics. You want to help your home country and the people there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. And I started a nonprofit in high school. It actually started, my mom had the idea, and she kind of paid me to start a nonprofit because I didn't have a lot of things going on. I graduated high school, and I was just messing around like a teenager would. So she figured she had an idea. She was like, I'll pay you to start a nonprofit. And I started it, and coming to Hennepin kind of give me the reaffirmation I was looking for to stick with that. Because I was at a point in my life that I was looking for something to validate my reasons for doing what I was going to do. I couldn't, because my options were to find a corporate job and make the money and just chill, but then I'm from a place that didn't have a whole lot. And they need people like me to help, because this is a blessing. We don't get people like me coming from where I'm from, we don't get to come this far. So coming this far, the best thing I can do for myself and for my people is to go back and help. And coming to the Hennepin really, really helped me coming to that decision.
Tell us a little bit about what's different in your life as opposed to the folks back home that you know.
Well, the one thing they got better than us is the weather. So the weather's way better than our health, but the people are nice enough. The people in Minnesota are nice. And that's something worth sticking around for. And the people are nice. There's a lot of diversity in Minnesota. That helps a ton. And see, I'm a big fan of nice people in the community, and that's kind of what Minnesota provides, a community of people that really care about each other. And that's what I know, and that's where I'm from, and Minnesota provides that.
All right. So, Amdi, what's next for you?
Well, for now, I'm actually in grad school and undergrad at the same time. I'm kind of doing it because I kind of didn't finish grad school. I'm left with the credit with a class that I'm doing that class, and I'm in grad school too at the same time. I'm at Augsburg and Metro State at the same time. Going for a degree, I'm going to have an economics degree, and my grad school degree is going to be development economics. And what that is economics for the third world. It's designed specifically for third world countries. And with my nonprofit, that's going to do a lot for me. So the next step for me is get that degree and probably see how it goes and probably go back home eventually and work with the nonprofit and hopefully see how things go.
Great. Well, thanks. You're doing great work. Thank you.
Thanks.
Amdi Jarju. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88 Minneapolis. Our show is made possible in part by Town Hall Brewery. Town Hall brews and serves 5 year-round beers, makes over 50 styles of beer each year. In the past 14 years, Town Hall's beer has won 15 Great American Beer Festival medals, including 3 gold medals. Last hour, we featured Phil and Jules Darg, along with the Rowe Family Singers and our Great Northern Radio players, in a selection from the Minnesota show that went to New York, Sasquatch the Musical. After hearing about Bert's encounter with Bigfoot in the nearby woods, Zeke and Thelma, the owners of the local bar in Filcher Creek, decided it's time to unleash their crazy plan to drive tourists into their sleepy little town by capitalizing on the Bigfoot legend.
It's time to get our Bigfoot costumes on and drum up some business.
Now, what makes you think it'll work this time? Every time we put those things on and go roaming through the woods, people either don't notice us or they think we're going to a costume party.
Well, this time it's different. Bert really believes that he's seen Bigfoot.
So?
Well, he's such a blabbermouth, he'll tell the whole town. And then they'll all be on the lookout for Bigfoot themselves. We just need a few people to spot us, and then our whole plan goes into action. Once word gets out that Bigfoot is loose in Filcher Creek, everyone will start coming around to get a glimpse of him. And when they do, they'll need some place to stay.
Oh, and some place to drink. Oh, Zeke, you know how much I want to run an overpriced bed and breakfast.
And you know how much I like to overcharge for beer. Way back in the 1800s, when the settlers first came in, they heard about this Sasquatch dude from the local Indian kin. And ever since then, they've seen him, but never captured him alive. And many folks say that the whole darn thing is just a lot of jive. But if we convince the outside world that Bigfoot lives near here, we can book some overpriced rooms and sell really expensive beer. And so we don these silly suits to stalk the rumors flying, to create the publicity that'll make them come a-buying. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, we got your Sasquatch here. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, you will soon tremble with fear. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, it's time you realize you've never seen a Sasquatch deal, you've seen him with your own eyes. Just just one big story on the national news about our Bigfoot town. Everybody will come from miles around to tear the old place down. And even if they call in the National Guard and troops invade with tanks, we'll laugh about it all the way from here to the local banks. And some will keep on saying that the whole thing is a hoax. It's just a cheap stunt pulled up by the local backwoods folks. You'll still get a chill in the woods when you hear something coming from behind, even though it's probably me in my Bigfoot suit trying to blow your mind. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, we got your Sasquatch here. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, you will soon tremble with fear. Welcome to Bigfoot Central, it's time you realize you've never seen a Sasquatch till you've seen him with your own eyes. First chance we get, we'll put on those Bigfoot suits, go scare us some tourists out in Columbia National Park. Before you know it, we'll have more customers in here than ever.
Oh, sweet! That'll be great!
Welcome to Bigfoot Central. Reservations non-cancelable. Welcome to Bigfoot Central. We got your Sasquatch here. Welcome to Bigfoot Central. You will soon tremble with fear. Welcome to Bigfoot Central. It's time you realize you've never seen a Sasquatch till you've seen it with your own eyes. You've never seen a Sasquatch till you've seen it with your own eyes. You've never seen a Sasquatch till you've seen it with your own eyes.
That's Phil and Jules Darg. That's a selection from Sasquatch the Musical. For more on the antics of Arthur the Sasquatch and the folks of Filcher Creek, see www.sasquatched.com. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park. And joining us now on stage, having just ducked out of a birthday party that she's been cooking for all day, so she's a very busy woman today, and she's a student here at North Hennepin Community College, is Roshan Khandekar-Hook. Welcome. So your story was really interesting to me because you're a student here today, but you've got an interesting backstory. You were on television in Bangladesh.
Bangladesh television.
Yes. Right. Tell us what you did there.
Actually, it was in 1984 to 1988. I was a regular actress in Bangladesh television until I got married. I got married in 1987, and I moved to England. And in Minnesota, I came 17 years ago because of my husband's job. My husband, he was a consultant, a database administrator. So he was hired from England. That's why we moved here. But I'm here, I'm happy because my family, my brother, sister, everyone live in US. Only I was the only one in London live. But in Bangladesh, while I was there, I was a student, and at the same time, it's part of my, as a hobby. I didn't take it as a profession because I was a student that time. But in, it's a 1 hour drama, but it's not a movie, but it's a one story. It's kind of the movie story, like you were 1.5 hours. So it's
serial,
it's one time I did serial. It's a, law and order kind of things. Oh. That one, that little part, But most of the time, it's weekly drama I was in. And I was known there as a Lippi Khandekar. My whole name is Roshan Jahan Lippi Khandekar. But, so over there, one of the producer, he took me, he said, Lippi Khandekar, I won.
That fits on the credits.
Yes,
yeah,
right. So, and I have to tell another thing, because of my, the producer was looking for a special drama, and they wanted someone very beautiful eye, and so the person will follow. Because of my eye, I got into the TV without audition. After, when they saw on the screen and my voice, then they took my audition. So
the eyes have it.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, now you went from there. You said you traveled to London with your family.
Yeah, after good marriage.
And so what brings you here now? What's life for you like now?
I like, if I compare to Bangladesh, actually, I like Bangladeshi life more than you, because my father was a doctor and he had, you know, like government servant, you get free house, free orderly and everything. So my life was this princess life. Here, I'm servant, I'm driver, I'm cool, everything. So here life is, but I have to say, here is secured life, I feel. Like, I can come alone or in the nighttime. No one will, I feel very secure, which I wasn't feeling in Bangladesh. People, when as a celebrity, they bother you. And not only that, if they, sometimes, they want a pair of love, and if you reject, they sometimes, give you a threatening person. So that is the reason I chose my husband. My wedding was arranged. One of my cousin, his wife saw me on the TV, and she made the matchmaking, and my husband grew up in England. So I had little hard time because he doesn't know how to talk Bangla, how to read or write, and I was afraid of speaking English that time, especially British English. So we are kind of...
Wow.
Yeah, my letter, when I used to write to him in Bangla, and my father-in-law read it to me, and my love letter... my father-in-law read to my husband.
Oh, no.
So I like, compared to Bangladesh, England was fine, but to tell you the truth, English people are snobbish. They don't talk to even if you are each sit to each other.
We're still not on in England, so
right.
It's okay.
No, I'm just telling you the truth. But when I moved in here, I love America because the reason when I didn't know how to drive first time when I moved 17 years ago, so I used to ride on the bus with my little kid. They were little. Now they're grown up. They are all university, you know. So they were, everyone else, wow, what a little, wow, sweet, where are you from? And everyone talking to me, you know, I didn't feel. Same thing in North Hennepin also. I love my professor and... you know, my friends, and so if I have any problem, they solve, and they're so friendly. I'm really, really grateful to be in America, believe me, and also in North Hennepin. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I love your stories. Roshan Khandekar Hook, Lippy Khandekar, as you would know her on the Bangladeshi Law and Order. That's how I took that. So thank you very much. Thanks. The Great Northern Radio Show, Northern Community Radio, Jazz 88. Hello to our listeners back home in northern Minnesota, including our friends in Brainerd, celebrating 18 years since the last fictional murder involving a wood chipper. Now, welcome back, New Sound Underground. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and KBEM Jazz 88 Minneapolis. We are broadcasting live at the North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park. Coming up on the end of our last hour here in the suburbs, nothing matters quite as much as raising children. Demographics show the burbs attract families of all kinds, people raising kids in a cyclone of scheduled activities and sports. Animal control will also tell you that outer ring suburbs like Brooklyn Park attract feral cats and encroaching woodland creatures. When these worlds collide, you know that even the wily smarty pants of the forest, the North American raccoon, is no match for the modern challenge of extracurricular activities.
I'm so excited! We have been selected as the three parents in charge of Little League team management for the month of July! With only a few weeks until the tournament, it will be up to us to feed them on the field and chaperone after-game events. Isn't it wonderful?
You know, my son Eric was just named starting pitcher for the team. I'm so proud of him.
Well, you ladies know we're just raccoons, right? I mean, I'm only here because the boys said they were primo garbage cans next to the ball fields.
Oh, Fred. I'm a little worried about this summer, though. Eric's gonna be so busy. He's teaching underprivileged marmots from Quebec, Kazakhstan how to swim.
Well, does he have to go to Kuzaheka Deka Sausage for that?
Oh, no. It's one of those academic swimming classes you can take through Skype. You know, on the computer, up on the second floor of the Blue House. It'll look so good on his college applications. We're looking at Harford, but the University of Mammalsota is our safety.
Yeah, that's lovely, Marianne. Now, we're going to be the three most organized, attentive raccoon parents this team has ever seen. I've created an agenda for today's meeting that will keep us on track. And the first order of business... Fred! What are you doing?
Sorry, ladies. My crotch is covered in bacon grease. Don't ask. Just taking care of some business over here.
Well, there will be plenty of time to lick the bacon grease off your unmentionables after our meeting. Put that away, please, please. Now, the first order of business is the seventh inning snack. We'll provide the team with a nutritious, filling snack that will sustain them to the end of the game. I was thinking perhaps a free-range farm-raised turkey roast with whole wheat buns.
You know, Beth, my son Eric is captain on the debate team, and when they go to meets, the whole meal is catered by Bonicelli's.
Well, that's a lovely idea, Marianne, but I'm not sure we can afford it.
Well, Bonicelli's has a free dumpster. I mean, it's pretty good, but I don't think they deliver.
Fred, we aren't here to continue eating out of garbage cans like our raccoon grandparents.
Good enough for them.
We want something better for our kids. Quality, gluten-free, peanut-free ingredients prepared without added sugar.
Well, there's a half a gluten-free veggie pizza floating in the brine at the bottom of the trash bin by the dugouts. What's wrong with that?
That actually is an option.
Yeah.
But I really think we can do better.
My son Eric says that Bonicelli's is just delicious. They've got meatballs, salad, breadsticks, wine.
What?
Oh, the wine is just for the adult raccoons.
I mean, you want to get high, start popping the little bags of apples that all the people throw at McDonald's.
Fred! We have to be responsible adults.
What's it matter? I mean, our kids are just going to run around on this field at night and have some fun. This time next year, we'll be fighting them for mates, territory, and limited resources. Just enjoy the moment.
Shame on you. Such low expectations for your cubs. I feel sorry for them.
We didn't move out here to the suburbs to live that way anymore.
Hey, that was foul. Shoot, they just gave up another run. That ump must be blind.
Well, he's a mole, so yes, he is blind. He's the only one who was available. The feral cats are up at the gravel pit, and the stray dogs don't call strikes. They only call bow wows.
All right, everybody's got problems. We don't need to hold all these meetings and make it more complicated than it needs to be. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but there's a batch of spoiled dough behind the Panera Bread's got my name on it.
Oh, Dad, you'll never believe it. Coach says me and Jake are good enough to go to baseball camp next week.
Yeah, Dad, this previously unknown activity is now the most important thing to our delicate sense of worth.
I don't know, guys. Camp is expensive, and I buried everything we had under that old meth house that the fire department burned down.
It's okay, Dad. Coach says we can get scholarships if you're willing to chaperone.
Chaperone, huh?
Eric will be at the camp. Maybe we could arrange some play dates before then so the Cubs can get to know each other.
Now, I've been a head chaperone at the camp for 3 years. We could sure use the help, especially with untangling all the iPod headphones.
What do you say, Dad?
Well, I've always gotten by using my dexterous paws. I just never thought it would come to this. Okay, you can go.
Yay!
Also, Dad, we signed up for hockey. Where's Evelyn?
Thank you.
New Sound Underground. This is the Great Northern Radio Show. Hey, hey, Nikolai, guess what time it is?
What time is it? Time to play
the music. The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio. The show is made possible in part by Town Hall Brewery in Minneapolis and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Find our podcast at kaxe.org. Thanks to our musical guests, the Rowe Family Singers. New Sound Underground. The masterful violin of Stephen Decker. Phil and Jules Darg with Sasquatch the Musical. And our house keyboard player, Nikolai Koivinen. The Great Northern Radio players tonight include Sarah Breeze, John Nauman, our Lyndon Johnson of the night, Jenny Ryerson, the 612 gang, Jason and Louisa Skorich, CJ Anderson on sound effects. Thanks to our guests, Andy Jarju, Roshan Kondiker-Hoop, Dave Kaiser, and Eldon Testman. Hey, the show was written and produced by me. I'm Aaron Brown. Additional writing by Matt Nelson. Northern Community Radio's program director is Heidi Holton. Our stage manager and associate producer is Erica Coda. Production help from Tammy Grabowski. Broadcast audio production by Dan Haug and Chris Juleson and the good folks of Jazz 88. Thanks to the goddess of grant writing, the maven of money getting, the prophet of the nonprofit, Maggie Montgomery, and the whole staff of Northern Community Radio, Jazz 88, along with my friend Mike Ritchie and the good folks here at North Hennepin Community College. Our next show is at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts in Grand Marais, Minnesota on June 13th this summer. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Brooklyn Park. One more number from our friends, the Rowe Family Singers. Good night.